Since the service has gone so long, I've enjoyed the testimonies. I want to give you one thought, however, before we go, and it is a little bit of a story. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, it's a verse we've all memorized, but if you'd like to turn there, let me read it and just quickly ask the Lord to prayer, and we'll pray and ask the Lord to bless, and then I just give you one little story. So in verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, Father, we do look to you. Pray now that you bless. Thank you for these good testimonies. Pray now that you would help us to understand the full, Lord, potential of this particular verse. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. There's one incident in regard to Joy's cancer. Joy was diagnosed with cancer in 2002, and as I've mentioned little glimpses of this, I really went into despair. Despair being the concept of I had no idea what to do. Cancer's a death sentence. I had no idea. God took me from despair into what I call desperation. Desperation being the concept that God began to give me hope. Things changed in regard to a particular incident. After Joy was diagnosed in 2002 with breast cancer, she had surgery. She had a mastectomy. And then the doctors recommended for her to have chemotherapy, and she did not want it. Her mother had gone through some terrible bouts of chemotherapy. Actually, her mother had passed away with cancer. My mother passed away with cancer, as talked about this morning. And that's obviously nothing new here, but the concept... She didn't want to have the chemotherapy because she saw the harsh aspects that chemotherapy had on her mother. Now, this is 20 years later, and it is a whole lot better now than it was back then, but she just did not want to have it. And I wasn't going to try and convince her. One thing I did ask the Lord to do, I said, Lord, I do not want to make decisions based on fear. I want you to lead us through this process and guide us and keep me from making decisions based on fear. So knowing that she did not want to have chemotherapy, I just took that as God's direction not to have it. So what she did is she saw an alternative doctor, and she went on a diet, health food diet. It was totally different than what you're probably thinking. It did take about almost 3 hours a day. I mean, she would juice and she would do beets and greens and all this stuff. I can't even believe she even drank it, but she did. And she exercised. She was more fit than I was. And the aspect is that what you do is that by the alternative, you build up your own immune system to take care of the cancer instead of going through chemotherapy, which tears down the immune system. Well, 2 years later, she had a pain in her side, and the doctor that we were seeing right then said it was gallstones. Well, I asked somebody else what gallstone symptoms were, and what Joy had didn't quite match. So we saw another doctor, and when we saw that doctor, he told us that the cancer had come back. So I asked the doctor, I said, how long does she have? And Joy's sitting there too. And he said, you have 6 months without treatment and 1 year with treatment. Well, we had to go to another doctor because the cancer that she had was actually in her lungs. They had to make sure it was metastatic breast cancer instead of a new cancer that came back. And so within that particular week, we'd gone to this doctor. He said, it isn't a new cancer. It's metastatic breast cancer that spread to her lungs. When we're coming home from that particular doctor's visit, I'll never forget this as long as I live. We pulled up into the driveway, and Joy said, can we stop and thank the Lord? And I don't know how to explain it to you, but there we were in the car. We bowed our heads, I prayed, and God just met with us. And we thanked the Lord, and my whole perspective changed from that point on. It was powerful. Now, you have to understand that it spread to her lungs, actually to the sac around her lungs, that the fluid was building up, and she had to have the fluid taken off, and it stopped. What we didn't know at that particular time is that it wasn't supposed to stop. Usually the fluid keeps building up, and every time you take it off, it gets more and more, and they usually die from it. With Joy, it stopped. Then actually the cancer had gone to her liver, and the cancer was growing in her liver, and she did later take chemotherapy, and the doctor, we came in, and the doctor said the cancer in the liver is reduced 70%. She says it never does that. The cancer actually went to her ovary. And we had no idea. They're taking chest x-rays just to see how the fluid was doing in the lungs. And the nurse did x-ray for the ovaries. She wasn't told to do it. It wasn't ordered by the doctor. She just did it. And they caught that at a very early stage, so she had surgery and her ovaries were removed. And then the cancer went to the bone. Joy couldn't, actually, one morning she came and sat down. She couldn't get up. She was in excruciating pain. We took her to the emergency. The doctor said that this could be a real problem. She may have an extended hospital stay. We may have to do surgery. Said she may never walk again. In 2 days, we were out of the hospital with her walking. The cancer was in such a place, it was totally different than they thought. The cancer went to the brain twice. The first time that the cancer went to the brain, we did stereotactic radiation, which means that you only radiate the tumor itself. You don't radiate the whole brain. She did not want to have full brain radiation, and I agreed with her that we shouldn't. She had stereotactic radiation, and afterwards you get what's called necrosis. Necrosis is where that the radiation continues to kill brain cells, and so you get swelling in the back of the head. And I remember that before we had this particular test, I went to our deacons, or before we did the radiation, I went to the deacons and I said, you know, she's going to have radiation. I said, would you pray that God would remove the tumor? And we prayed. Now, the deacons weren't led to pray to remove the tumor, but they did pray. They said, God, we know that you can remove the tumor, and we also know that you can destroy the tumor through radiation, but we do pray that you take care of it. Well, months later, the doctor said that the cancer had come back, that we had to do a full brain radiation. And we came out of that doctor's office, and Joy said, let's pray. I said, I can't. We already prayed. God's taking care of the cancer. It's not cancer. It's still the necrosis. The doctor had, the one who does the radiology, or does the stereotactic radiation, checked with the surgeons. The surgeon says, no, it's not cancer. It's the necrosis. Cancer came back to the brain. Three tumors. The doctor said these are fast-growing tumors. You've got to get them removed right away. The only thing we have is full brain radiation. Well, to make a long story short, we weren't going to do the full brain radiation. And so I was convinced of it, and I can remember I was sick on a particular Sunday, and I was studying my Bible on Sunday afternoon, and I said, Lord, I know what not to do. I know you don't want us to do the full brain radiation, but what do I do? And there was a certain particular passage in Luke chapter 5 where the man is let down through the roof. Remember, the paralyzed man is let down through the roof. And Jesus said, which is easier, to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? And guess what word hit me? The word easy. I says, Lord, this isn't a problem with you. This is easy. So I said, Lord, we're taking that. Well, a month later, we had to go in to see how the brain tumors were doing. When we went in, the two brain tumors, two of the three brain tumors weren't seen anymore, and the one brain tumor had not grown. So he said, let's just wait on it. And eventually, they just went away. So when we gave thanks, even though the cancer spread as many times as it did spread, God brought us through a crisis deliverance, and God was doing a wonderful work. So, you all know that the Lord took Joy. I really thought because of the Lord delivering her repeatedly that the Lord was really going to heal her completely of the cancer. And so she started getting worse. By the way, through all this process, she hardly missed a church service. She was functioning almost as normal throughout the whole thing. And actually now she had to be taken care of. I was taking care of her in my house. And It was on a Friday, February the 19th. And we had her stomach was starting, the cancer started growing again in the liver, and her body was starting to retain fluid. And so I called a doctor. I said, can we have the fluid taken off? And I said, Lord, I'm going to take a step. I'm going to trust you to remove the fluid and to get her back on track. And just as the nurse was coming to bring an IV for her, I looked at Joy, and she looked different. And she wasn't breathing. I tried to resuscitate her because I thought she took a breath, and so I tried to resuscitate her. And I didn't know what to do. And I looked again, and I thought she took another breath, and I tried to resuscitate her. And just then, there was a knock at the door. The nurse was here. And so I went to the door, and I said, I think Joy's dying. She said, I'll get my stethoscope. And so she did and came in, and she said, she's gone. Well, what is the first thing I did? I said, Lord, thank you. Now, I don't know how thankful I was, but I said, Lord, thank you. And I want you to know something. Well, the next day on Saturday, when reading Psalm, I think it was Psalm 18, the Lord gave me a real wonderful verse. The verse was, as for God, his way is perfect. And I again bowed my head and thanked the Lord. And each day afterwards, I thanked the Lord. And do you know something? As I look back, I certainly miss Joy, and I think I will always miss Joy. But you know, the Lord took Joy was not an accident. As far as God, his way is perfect. But being thankful for it, I really believe that God used Joy's death in my life more than if he would have healed her. The key is, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So here's the conclusion. What giving thanks does, especially, obviously, in good things, we need to give thanks. But even in bad things, we need to give thanks, because you know what it does? It prepares your heart to accept whatever God wants to do through that trial. Because God never lets anything in your life that isn't for your best and obviously for his glory. So when we gave thanks in the car, it prepared us for what God was doing through the next 6 years. By the way, they gave her 1 year. She lived for six more years. God taught us great truths through that, that Lord willing, I will never forget. Then in her death, in thankful, God could use that in my life in a wonderful, wonderful way. So in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Father, thankful, we're thankful that you're a God who infinitely loves us. Lord, we obviously need to give thanks when things go well. But as important, we need to give thanks when they don't go well. Lord, giving of thanks prepares our hearts to receive all that you want to teach us through the trial that we're going through. Lord, I do thank you for Joy's cancer, and I do thank you for her home going. Lord, as for God, you do everything perfect. Now, Lord, bless us. Help us, Lord, to remember that in everything to give thanks, because you're a God who does everything perfectly, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.